This morning's call for worship comes from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him, for the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day, for your wonderful creation and for your countless blessings. Thank you for gathering this church family today. From the beginning of time, Lord, you have known everything about us, and you still love us and accept us. As we bow before you, help us to slow down, to quieten our minds, to be still, and to be aware of your presence. Patiently and lovingly, you wait for us to invite you into every aspect of our lives. Forgive us for keeping you at a distance, for being less than loving and caring, for failing to see other people as you see them, made in your image and loved enough for Jesus to die for them. Forgive us for our poor choice of priorities and use of time, for neglecting to read your word. Father, we cannot hide from you. You know our thoughts and our worries and our concerns. Help us to prayerfully put those concerns into your hands, because you understand every situation and will never turn us away. Speak to us today, Lord. Help us to listen and to understand what you want to teach us through your word, so that we can be the people you want us to be. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here. It's lovely to be back. It feels a long time since I stood in this pulpit. I want to say a word of thank you this morning. I've listened to some of the sermons that were preached in my absence, and I realize there's been lots of prayer for us as a family, and I want to say that was greatly appreciated over the time off. So thank you very much for your prayers. I suppose the summer, for me at least, was a bit of a kind of a busman's holiday from days gone by. I ended up doing a lot of work on the building site, and I have come to a conclusion. I'm going to remain a minister. So if you think you're going to get rid of me anytime soon, that's not going to happen. I killed myself working, doing things that I thought I used to be able to do, and now I can't. So, but a change is as good as a rest, but we've had a good summer, and we're glad to be here. We're going to turn now to God's Word, Luke chapter 11. Got a little short series for August. We'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute or two, but just to let you know that today we're going to be thinking about how we can see no evil by looking into this passage and hearing what God has to say to us here in these words. Luke chapter 11, verse 33, the lamp of the body. This is the word of God. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. And when your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. But when they are bad, your body is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely light, as when the light of a lamp shines on you. Amen. We come now to the time when we pray for others, the time of intercession. And today we're going to do that just slightly differently. We've never done it this way before in this church. We've done it this way earlier on down at Clockey. And today we're going to invite Josh and Haley in a wee moment to come up to the front, because last week they got engaged. They did get a round of applause and Clockey for that right now. And I gave the men there a word of warning, and I want to give all the men here the same. It's only fair to give you the same word of warning. Now, I have heard the story. They phoned me up the morning after, and they broke the news, and they talked it all through and how it all happened. Men, if you are in the vicinity of that story being told, walk away. Walk away with your head in shame. Unless you propose to your wife in such a meaningful and such a spiritual way. It certainly put me to shame how Josh had put that together and how he proposed to his future wife. We're going to invite him, his future wife. I've made you laugh. Second thoughts? No, happy laughing, we're okay. We don't want anything that we do here to end this so shortly. But we're going to ask him to come up to the front. And I'm going to ask George and maybe Sandra, would you come up? And we're going to pray with them as a couple. And because Josh is so tall and Haley's so short, I thought we'd get somebody tall like George and somebody short like Sandra. So that the prayer ministry team would kind of mirror image the couple. Now, we've never done this before. We've never prayed with a couple who have just got engaged. And, you know, that doesn't mean that we can't do that from now on. And we want to be praying with people in church, specifically at the front of church, for those who want to come up. Now, there may be someone else in the future who gets engaged in the congregation, and you might say, well, why are they not being prayed with at the front? It's because they maybe have been offered it, and they didn't want to. So we want to offer prayers to all types of people and to celebrate and pray for all kinds of things. Some of those people, when we approach them, may want to come up to the front. Other people may not want to come up to the front. But please trust us that we will be offering all types of prayers to all types of people. And then occasionally, they will come up to the front if they want to, and we'll pray with them here. And now, whenever I left, just before I left, I saw a lady leaving this building with an increasingly big belly. And now I see this morning that the husband is trying to feed that thing that's out of the belly with his finger. Now, I've had two children, and what I know is you don't feed them with a finger. You feed them with a bottle. Congratulations, folks. Congratulations. Baby McFern, what's baby's name? I knew it was something I should have known. What's his second name? Yo! I should remember that. Folks, congratulations and every blessing. We're going to take a moment now and we're going to pray. I'm going to ask just George and Sandra to pray with the newly engaged couple, Josh and Haley. Just pray whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And while they're doing that, I'll just start us off in prayer and then it will be a time of silence. And I want us today to really focus on relationships, on young relationships, on protection for young people who are going out to try and find their future husband and wife. We want to pray for marriages, for men and women. We want to pray for parents, new parents, not so new parents, grandparents. We want to pray for the relationships between parents and their children. We want to pray for the relationships between children. Because I see lots of children here who are all siblings. They're all living in the same house. And we're into the second half of a month or the summer holidays. Are you all doing each other's head in yet? Are the parents all going, I can't wait till August till the Wayans get back to school? So we want to pray for those relationships as well. And of course, as we grow older, we still have brothers and sisters. And we want to pray for those relationships too. And I'm sure each of us here know in our own families situations that we can pray for. And for other families. And we'll just take time to do that quietly as George and Sandra pray for Josh and Haley. So let's come before the Lord in prayer, and then I'll close in an appropriate time. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to worship and to pray. And we thank you for this engagement. We thank you for this new wee life, Lord, Archie, here with us. And we just ask, Lord God, that you would be with each of us now by your Spirit as we pray for those known to us, praying for our own relationships. The relationships in our families and amongst our neighbors. We ask this. Lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God of relationship. You exist in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. A perfect relationship. Lord, we know that you want us to be in a relationship with you. You want us to use the term Abba, Father, Daddy, God. You want us to be your children. And Lord, you've given us this great image that we are the bride of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom. This marriage relationship that we have on earth is to be a mirror image of the relationship we have with our Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know we are commanded to do certain things in those relationships. Sometimes, Lord, in a relationship which we call marriage, we make vows to one another. But yet, Lord, we know that in all of these things we are imperfect. We don't follow your commands. We don't live up to the vows that we make to one another. So, Lord, we pray for your protection and your healing and forgiveness in our relationships. And Lord, then between parents and children and between siblings, there were never any vows made, never any promises made, but yet there's an expectation in these family units, Lord. And you're a God of peace and unity. So we pray, Lord, peace and unity over our families. Not just the families represented here today or the families that are on our lists or the families that have envelopes or anything like that, Lord, but the families known to us, the families where we have influence. And indeed, Lord, if we can be ambassadors of peace into those families or into situations, help us to be that, Lord, to be salt and light in this world. Lord, we ask now that you would unite us in prayer as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Today we are going to start our little three-part series called Hear No Evil, See No Evil, Hear No Evil, and Speak No Evil. Now, I am sure that has already cast a memory for many of you. My first memory of these three monkeys was going into my granny's house. And on the little sideboard, there's all these little brass ornaments. Some people are nodding. And there's a wee set of monkeys. Hear, see, and speak no evil. And the context for us was, before my brother was born, there was the first three grandsons were all very close together, just 2 years between the three of us. And we were always told, hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil. It didn't always work, but there you go. These monkeys originated out in the Far East. They're a proverb from an ancient religion, maybe tied to Buddhism or something. But, you know, we can take things light from any quarter. You know, it's good to see no evil and hear no evil and certainly to speak no evil. And we're going to cover these three over the next few weeks. Now, the only anomaly in this great plan for the next few weeks is this. Next Sunday is a holiday Bible club service here in church. So the service, the sermon that I will preach on hearing no evil will be recorded in Clocky, and it will be on the website or on the Facebook page or on a CD if you haven't got access to the internet. So you'll have to pick that one up during the week. The passage that we read today talks about lights. And I have with me today clicker that doesn't work, a clicker that is now working. I have with me today some, well, I call them lamps, but for you folk, you'll call them bulbs. A light bulb. If you go into an electrical wholesaler and ask for bulbs, they'll send you to the garden center. Bulbs grow crocuses and daffodils. I will probably call them bulbs for your benefit today, but this is a fairly big old light bulb. And if you were to take the cover off that light, there'll be one of these light bulbs inside there. 300 watts of energy goes into this bulb, and it gives out about 3,800 lumens. So whenever we're measuring light, when you're measuring water or liquid, you use gallons or liters. And when you're measuring weight, not that any of us weigh ourselves, we use kilograms or pounds and stones and ounces and all that stuff. Lights use lumens. So 300 watts of energy goes into that to create 3,800 lumens. I've got a different kind of lamp with me. Now, for those of you who are savvy, you will have noticed that the lamps inside these two lights are different from the lamps that are inside these two lights. Have you all noticed that before? No. See in the bottom, look, see the wee white spot in the bottom? There's a lamp inside these that look a bit like this. And why we've got those ones in, we're just trying them because this lamp here only uses 75 watts of energy. Good Presbyterian, you see. Cheaper to run. Now, these ones are slightly different. They're not just as good as this one. This one's not in because it's slightly too long. but we're going to try and find other ones. This gives off 6,000 lumens. Imagine that, four times less energy for twice as much output. Just a different type of way of creating light. Of course, lamps come in all different shapes and sizes. You can go little small ones like this here. I'm sure we've all got these in the house somewhere, maybe in the ceiling in the kitchen or something, or the bathroom, or a little bedside lamp or a table lamp or something. A little bulb only gives off 50 watts. It's 50 watts of energy. The amount of light it gives off is not really important because it's a spotlight. You want it to shine on a particular thing or on a particular part of the room. It'll only give you a spot of light on the floor or light up your desk for you. There's different types of lamps. Oh, lots of them. Now, Haley's not allowed to answer this time because she got it wrong down a clocky. This is a different kind of a lamp. Agnes will know what this is off. Well, she's not going to tell you. Men will know what this is. All the men will know what this is, and I'm not being sexist. Yes, I am. This is out of a car. This is out of your headlight. This is out of a Vauxhall Nova, would you believe it? That's out of a Vauxhall Nova. And it's a bit funny, this one, because it doesn't shine that way. It shines the opposite way. It shines the light back to the reflector and then reflects it out. But it's a very different. It's only 12 volts, but it does a very different type of thing. But it's a lamp nonetheless. And I've one left here, one wee tiny, tiny one. Again, this little lamp is from your car. I think it's a tail light or a brake light. It's definitely not an indicator, but we'll say it's a brake light bulb. So on the back of your car, when somebody's lights go red, there's a little bulb like this that comes on. Different purpose again, different size, only 12 volts. So it's different again. So we have all these different lamps. And as an electrician, I have lots of lamps at home. I could have brought a box and I could have had right around the pulpit here covered with all these different types of lamps. But all of these lamps and all the other lamps that you have at home all have one thing in common. If you switch them on and cover them, they're no use. If the light from the lamp can't be seen, then it's no use. And all lamps can be covered. And that's what the passage tells us. We're going to look at these four or five verses today. The first verse says, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or put it in a bowl. And that's just silly to do that. And you know, as we think of these lamps and the different purposes and the purpose that they have is to shine, we can take from that, and that's what Jesus is teaching us in this passage, that Christians are a bit like lamps. Of course, Jesus didn't have all of these illustrations that I have today. But I look out onto a congregation where there's lots of you that I know, and I know you are Christians, and I know that you shine a light, and I know you're all different. You're all different types of lamp. You shine in various ways, at various times, for various types of people. And we do that because we're told to shine. It's a great illustration that runs through different passages in the Bible. Jesus says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. So we are to shine as Christians, commanded to do so. And we're not to cover the light, the various lights that we have, we're to let them shine. Now, every one of these lamps and every other lamp that you have cannot shine at full power all the time because it will burn out. I mean, these lamps are here to replace lamps that burn out. As an electrician, you've done that many a time. You go into shops and re-lamp a shop. It's actually a job that you do. You go in and just take the lamps out. Even if the lamps are on, you just go in and every lamp in the shop, you replace them because they are going to burn out. So we are a little bit like that as well. We can't burn brightly all the time. There's times that we need to shine less brightly. But those are times when we come for rest and restoration. There are times when we're out serving the Lord, but then we need to come back and get into His Word and spend a bit of time just figuring out where God wants us, where He wants us to go, who He wants us speaking to, and the kind of light that He wants us to shine in that particular season. And because we're shining at different levels at different times, God has this as a collective process. Paul in Philippians says, as you live in this crooked generation, a deprived generation, he says, you should live and shine like stars in the universe. So when you go out at night and look up to that starry sky and see all of those stars, they're all shining at different times. Some are flickering and some are shining brightly. Then one or two shine different colors and then you realize it's not a star, it's only a satellite that's flying around the world. But the natural stars are shining lights. And that's us as Christians, shining as stars, holding out the word of life in this crooked and depraved generation. Now, we shouldn't confuse the times in our life when we're not shining as brightly because we're being restored with the times that we're not shining brightly because we're covered or because someone has put us in a bowl. We should not allow the light that God is shining through us to be covered. We should not have the light in us dimmed because instead of restoring ourselves with good light, we are allowing darkness into our body. Darkness comes into our body through our eyes. That's what we're told in verse 34. Verse 33, we light a lamp and we let it shine. Verse 34 says, your eye is the lamp of your body. It's not a lamp like this that shines out. So you don't have something like this, two of these in your head that shine out. No, this shines in. Our eyes are the thing that shine into our bodies. Our eyes should be protected. It says here, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. When your eyes are bad, your body is full of darkness. When your eyes are good, you will shine brightly. But when your eyes are bad, your body will be full of darkness and you won't be shining. You won't be fulfilling the purpose for which you were created, the purpose for which you were saved. Our purpose is to shine and illuminate Jesus Christ. We are to radiate his light, his love, the grace that saved us. We're to pour that out. We're to be vessels of love and grace out into the world. Peter says, you are a chosen, holy, royal priesthood. That's what you are. You belong to God. And in so doing, you are to declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his glorious light. You're to live such good lives amongst the pagans that they would see your good deeds and glorify God. A bit like what Jesus said, exactly what Jesus said, in fact, in Matthew 5. The light that's in us is the light of life. That's what Jesus told us he is. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. That is the light that is in us as Christians. So as we live declaring the praises of him, as we live living such good lives, we are shining. We are lights that shine brightly for Jesus. But what verse 34 is telling us, to sum verse 34 up, verse 34 says, the input affects our output. The input affects our output. Basically, our eyes should see no evil. Every one of these lamps and other ones like them will only shine brightly if there's good quality electricity flowing into them. If this lamp here received poor quality electricity, it wouldn't even ignite, it wouldn't even come on. We need good quality input so that we can have a good quality output. And what our eyes see, the things that we see that shine into our life, have a more profound effect on us than we perhaps realize. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's happened to me. Get home after your day's work, sit down, have a big feed of dinner, and you're sitting really full of dinner, and you go in with a cup of tea in one hand and a biscuit, because you are full, but there's always room for a biscuit. And you sit down and you put on the TV, and then there's an advertisement comes on for food, and you start feeling hungry again. Yeah, you're not hungry. You only think you're hungry because of the power of advertising. That's why billions is spent on advertising, making us want to buy things that we don't need and do things that we don't need to do. The images, the moving images, the still images, or even the images that we paint in our mind because of the material that we're reading, has a profound and can have a lasting and can have a dangerous and negative effect on us. If you were to watch a program or to read books that were just about sad stories, sad things happening, that would drag you down. That would leave you downcast. If you were to watch programs that made you angry, like the news maybe or something. If you were to watch only those things that made you angry, you'd become a very bitter and twisted person. If you were to watch programs or read things about conspiracy theories, you would trust no one. because these things have a profound effect on us, the things that we allow into our minds. If we watch material or read material of a sexually explicit nature, it has a profound and lasting effect on us, both men and women. If you just watch scientific programs, read scientific journals, you would lose the sight that God has created this world around us, because science says he doesn't, primarily. Mostly science says he doesn't. These things, these images that we would build in our minds because of the things we read, shape our internal being. And it's not just the things that we read or the things that we watch. It's what we see around us as well. It's the people that we see. It's the things that we see. You can go out and look at people lustfully. You can go out and look at people or things in a covetous way. And then the things that you do have, looking covetously at things that you don't have, wanting them. But then you might have the things that you've got, like cars, for example, and you could look at them and be full of pride because of the things that you have. Our eyes affect us in ways that we maybe don't understand, and in ways that can be bad. Bad. Verse 34 tells us. When the eyes are bad, the body is full of darkness. It leads to a dark body. It means that your output will be dim. It won't be bright. And it is absolutely possible for someone who is absolutely genuinely saved by the grace of God, filled with the light of Christ, to live a very dim light, and to even live a light full of live a life full of darkness. That is possible. They are saved. Their salvation can't be lost. Your salvation can't be lost. God is in control of your salvation. But the light that we shine, we have a responsibility. We could say of these people who are Christians, who are not shining brightly, we could say that they're, well, sure they're saved, but they're just ineffective. They're ineffective disciples. They're not shining the light of Jesus. And sure, what's wrong with that? Well, see, what's wrong with that is they really do have an effect. They might be ineffective in shining Jesus, but they have an effect. They have a gospel effect, and it's a negative effect. Because if someone is a non-Christian who looks at a person who professes to be saved but has no real light shining out of them, that non-Christian would look at them and say, well, sure, I'm as good as they are. I'm as loving as they are. I'm as caring as they are. I'm as helpful as they are. I'm as decent a person as they are. That's enough for me. I am good enough. Fellow believer, the light that we shine should draw people to Jesus Christ, not cause them to believe that they don't need him. The light that we shine should draw people to Jesus, not deceive them into thinking that they don't need him. And if you're here today and you haven't given your life to Jesus, don't be deceived by considering the light that a Christian is giving off and using that to measure whether you will have an eternity in heaven or not. Don't look to us for salvation. Look to us to see Jesus for salvation. Because Jesus is the light of life. Without him, you will live in darkness all the days of your life. But also, you will spend an awful eternity in darkness. Awful eternity in darkness. But when you give your life to Jesus, a switch is switched on. God switches on that light of salvation. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. That can never be taken from you. You have a light within you that will shine from that day until the day you die, or until the day Jesus returns, and then for all eternity. But Jesus is the only light. It's an important thing. That's why Jesus makes it important in verse 35. He says, see to it that the light within you is not darkness. Now, this see to it is translated in different ways in different Bibles. Some Bibles say, now look, watch out, take heed, make sure, be careful. Because you see, it's a verb, see to it. Three words for us. But one Greek word, it's a verb, it's the imperative verb. It's a very important thing. This is a vitally important thing. See to it that there is a light in you in the first place. But when that light is in you, see to it that the light that you put into your body is not darkness. See to it that you are looking at good things, protecting the lamp of your body. Make sure that good light is going into your body. Be proactive in choosing what you watch on TV. The pictures that you look at in magazines, the books, the novels that you read, the pictures that you allow to build in your head, make sure they are good light pictures. Be proactive in choosing the people that you have conversations with. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on, about how we speak and how we hear. Speak no evil, hear no evil. But we should be careful to see no evil and be extra careful in the days in which we live. Because there is material now, for example, on our television screens, that in my short lifetime wouldn't even have been on the television. And if they were, they would have been way after the watershed. And now these images and these things are on 7 or 8 o'clock and the soap operas and all the programs that are on every day of the week. The television is bombarded with darkness. Movies bombarded with darkness. Novels bombarded with darkness. And folks, kids' games on their PlayStations and their Xboxes bombarded with darkness. If you have children who have a tablet or a phone and they're watching YouTube, or they're watching vloggers, are you listening to what they are hearing? Are you watching what they are watching to see if that light is light or if it's darkness? Because not only are we to protect our own eyes, we should be protecting the eyes of those who are most vulnerable, our children, who we should be training and growing in their Christ-likeness, not allowing them to be damaged. Because while this stuff has now become mainstream, because the world is saying, that used to be a bit dodgy, but now we accept it. It doesn't make it any less damaging or any less dangerous. The Bible gives us examples of that proactive approach that we should have to protect our eyes. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Now that's a covenant for both men and women, by the way. When we talk like this, We quite often go, that's men, so sexual things and all of that's a man's thing. I have spent time in the company of on a number of occasions and with a group of women being the only man in that group. And I can tell you, I heard more wholesome talk in the building site tea hut. Ladies' minds can be just the same as men. Do not look lustfully at a man or a woman. Psalm 101, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me and minister to me. No deceit will be in my house. No falsehood will be in my presence. Psalm 101 is not very long. That's just a few snapshots out of it. I encourage you to go home and read Psalm 101 as a supplement to what we're looking at today. We should have an intentional approach, a proactive approach to protect our eyes. But of course we know we live in a world full of darkness, and it is impossible for us to completely eradicate darkness from our eyes. The world is not perfect. You see, because also we're commanded to go out into the world, out into the dark world, to go and walk alongside and draw alongside and help people who are in darkness. So we are going to be exposed to darkness. I mean, it's impossible, I would say, to fully communicate the gospel without engaging with darkness. Because you're going to engage with a dark person. There will be times when our eyes see darkness. Images, even a glance, even a fleeting glance. But we've got to remember as we go out into the world, we're not called to walk everywhere where people walk. There are times when we have to walk, step back, and people will go into places that we should not go into. Because Paul, writing to the Corinthian church and to Timothy, he says, flee sexual immorality, flee idolatry, flee the corruption and greed that comes from the love of money, flee the desires of your youth, flee these things, he says, and pursue righteousness. When darkness is in view, fellow believer, flee. Flee that darkness. David wrote Psalm 101, and I'm not just sure where Psalm 101 falls into David's life, whether it was before Bathsheba or after. We know that David didn't flee sexual immorality. A glance from his balcony. He didn't flee. He pursued darkness, and we know what happened in that story. But even when we do flee, sometimes we can... The image is almost burned on the inside of our eyelids. You can see something in a blink of an eye, and it's with you forever. And it can affect you. You know the way they say you can't unsee something, whether it's good or bad. If you see something that is dark, be assured of this. Satan will use it to dim your light. He will try to paralyze you. He will try to cover you. He only needs a little tiny chink, and he will drive a very big wedge in if we let him. But we don't have to let him do that. If you're here and you're a Christian, and you know that you should be shining brighter than you are, and you want to shine brighter than you are, but there's something that has happened, even only for a moment, that is holding you back, then come to our prayer ministry team. That's why God has given us a prayer ministry team, so that they can help you shine brightly. They've been gifted and trained to help you walk through those things and get rid of those things and be freed from those things that would hold you back, so that you can go and be the type of lamp that God wants you to be, to shine in the way that he wants you to shine, as brightly as possible when it's appropriate to do something. Let's get on with shining for the gospel. And we can, and the last verse tells us that we can shine for the gospel, and we should shine for the gospel. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light, and no part of it is dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of a lamp shines on you. Your body can be completely light. You can shine brightly. Of course, you can't do it all the time. You need to come in and rest and be restored. That's why we do it collectively, as the stars in the sky. But you as a Christian, as part of this congregation, can be a person at times who is shining brightly for the Lord. Shining in various ways, at various times, to various people who need light in their life. Imagine you knew someone and they were struggling and they needed a car. Either the car that they had was broken, Ford, and they needed a car. And you knew there was a car. You knew there was a car that would suit them perfectly. It was the perfect car for them. So you say, come, I'm going to take you to the car for you. So you put them in your car and you drive them around, and you go to somebody's house and you start going down the bottom of a garden, and there's all the bushes and stuff in the way, and you get down to this old rickety shed, and there's an old rusty lock and a creaky door, and you get the lock off and you get the doors open, and there's an old dangerous light switch on the side, and one wee tiny bulb hanging in the middle of a big shed, maybe the size of this place here, and you flick it on, there's just enough to see, and you go, there's your car over in the corner. There is the just in that wee dark corner, there is the perfect car for you. Now hold that thought. Now think about doing it another way. You know the perfect car for someone. You put them in your car, but you drive them to a showroom where there's lots of lights, and the place is bright, and the car for them is sitting over in the corner. But there's light shining on and it's gleaming. The same car, exactly the same car, but just two different scenarios. We want to give people a showroom experience of Jesus Christ. We want to be shining brightly. We want to be illuminating the love and the grace of God that saved us. We want to be shining the light that God has placed in us by his grace. And the best way to do that, folks, is to see no evil. To make sure there is no darkness coming into our lives. And if it is in there, let's pray it out. And let us go out into the world. Into those relationships that we were praying for earlier on. We'll all know of relationships that need light. We all know people who need light. People are living in darkness. People will die in darkness. God wants to shine the light of the gospel through us. Let's go out this week. Let's make a determination, an intention to see no evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that it has illuminated us today, enabled us to shine brightly for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit illuminate us in ways that we perhaps even didn't think was possible, for the glory of the gospel and for the sake of the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.